I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we continue, last week, we started with this understanding, a new reality, or not a new reality, but a reminded us of the reality that we are all invited. We have all been invited by God to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of the celebration that is that. But that also, as we respond, as we take that in and find our place, that we are also invited to then take that out and invite others to be a part of what God is doing, to share in the good news so that they can know that they are invited as well. And as a result of accepting that, of that invitation, we enter into another reality today that I really need us to focus in on. And that reality is that you are invaluable to God's work. To be clear, because we don't always use that word, what I mean is that you are uniquely valuable to God. That you are valuable just because you are you. You are valuable because you are a child of God. You are invaluable. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells this parable of a shepherd that had 100 sheep, and he's bringing them into the fold, and he notices that one has wandered away. And he so loved even just that one that he didn't look at it and say, well, I've got 99, you know, 99% is pretty good, so I'm good. No, he left the 99 to go after the one. And when he finds it, they celebrate. This parable helps us through Jesus to point out that you are valuable to God just because you are you. And I want you to truly kind of get that, not just in the general sense, but you are uniquely created by God. You are invaluable just because who you are, not just because of what you can do, but or all those things, but you're also invaluable because you were created with a purpose. You were created to make a difference in God's church, that so that as God's church, we can be the beacon of light to a broken and hurting world. But for many, they hear this, and you hear, well, you're valuable, you can do so many things. And we hear this, and we start to find it difficult to believe. Because when we look around, we say, well, you know, I don't know, I'm not that good. I'm really not that good. I've got a history. I'm not talented enough. I don't feel spiritual enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not. And we add those things up and we think we can't make a difference. I mean, we look around at all the different things and that people are doing. We see, you know, in our instance, Lenny and all these other musicians playing and doing their thing, and we see that, and in comparison, I can't do that. And so we get to a point where we just hold off. And we don't feel that we know that much, or we can make mistakes, or we even make bigger mistakes. And the thing is that lie that so many believe gets between us and where God wants us. And it gets to this point of this huge lie in the church that if I weren't here, it really wouldn't matter. If I wasn't here, you know, and I'm not doing my little thing, you know, it wouldn't make that much of a difference. My hope today is that you will stop listening to that lie and see that you are invaluable to God's work. You are uniquely prepared with divine gifts, with passions, with talents that are needed within the body of Christ in this moment in history, because it's a time that you can best glorify God. You are invaluable to God's work. In fact, I want you to show you a metaphor that Paul wrote when he was writing to the people of Corinth. And they would have felt like us, like many of us, because they were not of noble birth. In fact, many were slaves, not highly educated. And they may have felt insecure about how they could make a difference in the midst of a world that they were surrounded in the midst of this Greek and Roman culture. And so Paul gives them this metaphor as he compares the church to a human body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." The human body has many parts. All those different things come up to make one body. Let's look at it this way. I was inspired by Josh's illustrations, and I've been told by many, hey, he does these things. So we're going to have some fun here today. I'm going to have some animal pictures thrown up, and I want you to do is tell me what, not what that animal is, but what the group is called. So first of all, we have elephants. What are they called? A herd. Good job. How about next? A lions. A pride. How about cheetahs? Not the Astros, but cheetahs. Anybody? It's a coalition. Okay. How about donkeys? I know where you think I'm going, but don't. A pace. A pace. How about a crows?
A murder.
A murder. Yep. And vultures? Smelly. It's a committee. It's where all things go to die. Now, if you're wondering what the point is, each animal on its own has a name that we refer to it as. But when you get a group together, they take on a different identity. It's not about the one, it's about the whole. A single animal has one name, the group together changes this. So in the same way, a person who is submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ is called a Christian. You may say a believer or a disciple or a follower of Christ, but a group of Christians gathered together to worship God, united in His blood and sacrifice, empowered by His Holy Spirit to make a difference in this world, that's the church. Or as Paul would call it, the body of Christ. On your own, yes, you are a disciple. But when you gather together alongside other Spirit-filled, empowered believers, you take on a new identity. You are His body. In other words, as a part of the body, you are His hands when you serve people in His name. You are His feet when you take the message of the gospel out into places it's never been before. You are His mouth when you lift up others with goodness and encouragement out of who Christ is and what He's doing in your life. You are His heart when you express His love to people who are hurting or feel distant from God. You are invaluable to the body of Christ. So we need to stop listening to the lie that tells you you're not important, you're not good enough, that you don't matter, and understand that God created you as you are. That He sent His Son for you as you are. Now, does that mean that you're not going to grow and not going to develop? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is where you are is where God needs you right now. His Spirit indwells within you and will develop you, and you are an invaluable part of the body of Christ now, not just later on. So we need to stop listening to that lie and step back and claim that truth. And what I will hope you'll understand and embrace is this, that every part of the body matters. Paul knew what he was writing, that some people might not feel like that. They might start believing the lie that says something different, that says that I'm not important. So in verse 14, he continues, "Now the body is not made up of just one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would for that reason not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Every part of the body matters." And I love this message because so often we feel like my part doesn't make that big of a difference. It doesn't really matter. You know, I'm just a greeter. I'm just an usher. I'm just making coffee. I'm just doing sound. I'm just. And every part matters because you're doing what God is calling you to do. Think about it. I like the way that Paul contrasts the ear and the eye, because if you're the ear, you might start to think, I'm getting jealous of the eye. Everybody gives so much attention to the eye. I mean, think about how overlooked the ear is. The eye gets all that attention. No one's ever had an ear-to-ear conversation. No one in love has just stared deeply and passionately into their ear of the other person. And if so, you might want to get away from them because they're a little psychedelic. That's not normal. The ear could so easily say, "Well, I'm not that important." But if the ear said it and there was no ear, did anybody really hear it? Every part of the body matters. Your part, your role, your presence, your voice, your opinion, your contribution, it all matters within the body and family of God. In fact, verse 22 points out that those that other people overlook, those aren't, you know, that aren't out on the platform, those that aren't in the most visible places, and though they are some of the most necessary parts of the body. It takes all of the body working together. And I hope you understand that, because because you're not visible up on the platform doesn't mean that it's not important. Just because other people don't necessarily see it or don't know about what you're doing, that doesn't matter. That doesn't make it that it doesn't matter to God and all the other people that you're affecting. You may be a prayer warrior on your knees at hours where most of people are still asleep. You may spend tons of time seeking God and nobody knows about it. You maybe do something as simple as help someone feel loved. It may not be incredibly visible, but just because it's not visible doesn't mean that it's not important. Your role matters to the heart of God, and it matters in the body. Your part matters to the body of Christ. Other people may not know what your gift is. They may not even know that you prayed for them. They may not know that, and you may not even know this, of your investment in a teenager's life and how much it mattered. You may never know the one smile when someone walked in and were made welcome and how much it affected them. Just because what you do is not visible doesn't mean that it's not important. You're intrinsically valuable because you are a child of God, but you are also practically valuable because you have gifts to give. You have talents to be used. You have a heart that needs to find a way to step in and meet other people. Think about it this way. The older I get, the more this happens. Have you ever been asleep and you slept wrong and you wake up and blood hasn't circulated in quite the right way on your arm and it's numb when you wake up and you can't hardly do anything with it? That part of the body, it's dormant. It almost feels useless as it kind of hangs there and you wait for the blood to hopefully start flowing. That affects the body. Nothing's quite right until it wakes up. You are a part of the body of Christ, but if you're not using your gifts, if you're not using your skills and talents to as a part of the church, understand that that affects the body. You're not living out your divine calling at that point. Your function, your role, your part, your position. If that's you, I implore you, please wake up. You are an invaluable part of this body. You've got something unique to offer that nobody else does. And don't give me the excuses, well, I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm too young. Because we all have a place that only we can fill. You've got something unique to offer. And as a result of your sleepiness, your numbness in the midst of that, other parts of the body are having to work harder, and we're not as effective. So wake up, church. Feel this with me. Because the church is not a building that we go to. It's not an institution that we are a part of. We are the living body of Christ. We are a living organism. We are the church. We don't go to church just to be entertained because it fits our schedule. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we are all called to reflect the love of God to the people in our world. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And that is who we are, not just what we do. That's who we are, and you are a part of that. You may say, well, I've messed up, or I don't know enough, or we can come up with all the different excuses. Well, my life's kind of got some dark spots, or you don't know about my past, and I want you to hear this very plainly. Your past does not disqualify you from being used by God. In fact, your past often prepares you for what God is calling you to do now. As a result of where you've been and what you've done through, you are better equipped to help others heal, help others rebuild. You're better prepared to help people know that there is hope beyond where they are right now. Even if in your midst of the darkest moments, if you know the grace of Jesus and you know how to show love to somebody, you are prepared now to be a part of God's holy work of redeeming His people. Your contribution matters. Think about what would happen. Imagine what would happen if every part of the body fully engaged in what we are uniquely called to do. How unique, and I mean, think about the impact of what would happen in this community and beyond. If we really saw and understood and took it to heart of what our role is in the work of God. Your presence matters to the heart of God. Your story matters within the presence of God's people. Your gifts matter. Your talents matter. Think about what it is possible if each of us would recognize that we truly matter. That we aren't just a number on a page, but that God has a specific place that he needs you to be working now, not just later, because he has given you the gifts, he's given you the talents, that you are valuable to him just because you are you. You are an invaluable part of the body of Christ. The church isn't just a place you go. The church is who you are. You're his hands. You're his feet. You might be an elbow. You might be a pinky. But your role is incredibly important. But if you're not engaged, if you're not expressing and offering your unique value from which God has created you and put you, if you're asleep, dormant, paralyzed, if you're anything that's other than what God wants you to be and be a part of, then you're missing out. Because you were uniquely created by God to bring value and to offer life, to share hope. And every time you give, it may not be much, but your gift matters. Every time you pray, you may not feel like anything's happening, but your prayers touch the heart of God and the Spirit moves. Every time you gather to worship, and we sing Amazing Grace combined with some Eagles. I love that song. Every time we come to worship with others, especially when maybe we just don't quite feel like it, but we choose to understand our calling, it matters to the heart of God. Because we put the priorities in the right place. Parents, I need you to hear this. If you don't represent that in your own life in front of your kids, what is somewhat important to you now will not be important to them later. It's your calling as a parent to put them in the place for them to understand God loves them, God values them, and that they have a place even now, that they are a part of the body of Christ. They're not the church of tomorrow, they are the church of today. It matters for you to be with others in this family because every part of the body needs every other part. Every part is equally important. And when we all do our parts, people aren't just going to say, you know, look on and say, well, what church is that? There's not really there anything there. No, they're going to say our city is different because the church is the church. The church is meeting the needs. The church is showing love. The church is impacting and showing the hope that only God gives. Church is the body of Christ, and you are an invaluable part of God's body. Will you join me in prayer as Lenny comes forward? Heavenly Father, you've called us. First of all, to acknowledge our invitation to be a part of you, for you created us, you know us. Down to our deepest core. that you loved us enough to die on the cross for us, to save us from the sins that were only leading us away from you. You have empowered us in moving us through your Holy Spirit to draw closer and become more of what you've called us to. And in that, we realize our value. Our value isn't in the things that we own or a title. Our value isn't found in our bank accounts or fame. But our value is found and recognized that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God that loves us. And as that is part of the body of Christ, we live out that new reality, sharing hope where there is no hope, sharing love where there's only division, sharing joy where there's despair. For you have called us to more than just occupying a certain spot. You've called us more than just being entertained. You've called us to more than just sitting in a pew. You've called us to be your church, to be your people, a light shining on a hill for all to see, drawing people closer, not to just a program on a Sunday morning, but more importantly, God, to a God that loves them so much. May we take up that call today. In your name we pray. Amen.